Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Now, if you appreciate Issues Etc., please consider making a tax-deductible gift today. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
The first stanza of the hymn, For All the Saints. Now, that word saints is easy to misunderstand. It's not just a sports team. It is a word that the Bible uses quite a bit. In the Old Testament, we might say holy ones. In the New Testament, St. Paul likes to call Christians saints. But when you hear that word, you often think about the special, or maybe even you think of it in a derogatory sense. People say, I'm no saint, when they're trying to say, look, I'm not that great of a person. But what does it really mean, and why would the church devote a Sunday, a day, a special day, in fact, a very high festival, to all the saints, as it does this coming Sunday? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon. It's the 26th of October. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary, with Dr. Carl Fakencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Looking forward to All Saints Sunday. Then, a little bit later in Hour 2 of Issues Etc., we begin Issues Etc. Reformation Week, a series of programs in the second hour of the program all week long, focusing on the challenges to Lutheranism, past and present. We're going to start with Pietism, one that's been as a challenge with Lutheranism for a long time and remains one as well today. Dr. Larry Rast, President and Professor of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest for Hour 2 of Issues Etc., kicking off Issues Etc. Reformation Week. Now, you can join us with questions or comments, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at IssuesETC. The Issues Etc. comment line open all the time for your questions and your comments, 618-223-8382. Joining us to look forward to Sunday morning, the approach of All Saints Day that the church celebrates this coming Sunday, Dr. Carl Fakencher, Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fakencher, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Todd.
All through the propers of this coming Sunday, we're going to hear this description of these people that are often referred to as saints. Are we given a better, more biblical definition this coming Sunday of the word saint than we usually have when that word is used?
I think that's definitely true. I think both of the references that you made in the intro are far more common understandings, really, than the biblical understanding. That doesn't even include New Orleans saints, to which you also referred, where we talk about people who have been honored by the church in a special way, as the Roman Catholic Church does, for having an exemplary life, but much more than that, having several attested miracles and so on. That is a very select few of the church, or again, in the kind of throwaway way, where we're implying that a saint must be somebody really, really great. That would be not I. Another way of saying the saints are certainly not a general group of members of the church, but someone very select. And on the other hand, in our lessons today, really from start to finish, including those expressions that the church has written so beautifully in the collect, in the hymn for all the saints, and so on, we have just wonderful understandings of what the scriptures really teach about the saints. From the get-go, it's important to understand, and we'll see it all the way through, that the saints are all of those who have been made holy by the forgiveness of their sins in Christ Jesus. And that really does give a totally different kind of understanding. It happened this past Sunday as I was teaching adult instruction class at St. Paul's in Fort Wayne. Since this was the week of Reformation coming up after that with All Saints, I talked about this, and you know, it's exciting to look at a number of people who are new to the faith, believers in Christ, but just going through catechesis, and be able to say, "You are the saints," and look down that table, look around that room, and say again, "You are the saints." That's eye-opening, and it's a magnificent expression of gospel to get to share this coming week.
The first proper that we'll meet this coming Sunday is the intro, which begins, it is usually an entrance psalm, but it begins with a verse that we're going to hear more than once in this coming Sunday. What is it?
That's right. Revelation 7, verse 14 is not only the antiphon to the intro, but it will also occur in the gradual, and then also in the first reading of the day from Revelation chapter 7. And it is not at all a bad summary of who these saints are that we're talking about. Here we go. Revelation chapter 7, verse 14b is the antiphon, and then selected verses from Psalm 31. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me, for you are my rock and my fortress. And for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. A wonderful expression there of what it means to be a saint. And again, from the very beginning, from the antiphon from Revelation chapter 7, these are the ones. Right away, if we're looking for a definition of the saints, who are the saints? You couldn't answer more directly than to say these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. We can talk about that a little more when we look at Revelation chapter 7, the sufferings that we are experiencing. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. There's the simplest definition that we mentioned a moment ago. Those who have been washed white in the blood of the Lamb, whose sins have been forgiven by Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world by his shedding of blood on the cross, and that has made us white, which is a wonderful expression or symbol of holiness. And the saints are those who are holy, the holy ones of God. None of us is holy by our own nature. We're all sinful. We're all unclean. But when we are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ applied to us in baptism, then we are indeed holy. We are set apart as the children of God, as we'll see a little bit later on in our epistle lesson coming up. I like the other things that this intro it picks up that fortify this as well. I use that term advisedly, where the psalmist says, "For you are my rock and my fortress." I like that not only because it's an expression of the centrality of Christ and his power and his protection that makes us saints. Again, it's nothing in ourselves. It's nothing inherent in our nature. It's his doing. But also, it rings a nice bell on the week after Reformation, doesn't it? When we've sung A Mighty Fortress on Reformation Sunday, and we remember that what we talked about on Reformation Sunday, the mighty fortress being our God, the mighty one, Christ Jesus, Sabaoth Lord, fighting for us, defeating the devil on our behalf, that's the basis for our sainthood. It always comes back to what Christ has done for us. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. The emphasis on All Saints Day is never on the particular qualities of the people. And that is the misunderstanding that is so common when we talk about saints in the popular parlance. Whether it is a particularly great believer in Christ whose works have elevated him above others, or whether it is in that kind of throwaway sense of a good person versus a bad person. In both of those, the focus is at least slightly or perhaps very much away from Christ as the basis of sainthood and focused instead on something in the person. All of the lessons today, this week, all the propers we'll look at this hour, really move our focus away from anything about ourselves to Christ instead.
the collect for this coming Sunday, what if you would read it for us and then do a little explanation?
Sure. Almighty and everlasting God, you knit together your faithful people of all times and places into one holy communion, the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant us so to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that together with them we may come to the unspeakable joys you have prepared for those who love you, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns. Same thing again, we see a focus clearly on Christ Jesus. The saints are those members of the mystical body of Christ Jesus. They are the people whom Christ has prepared. This is all through Jesus Christ our Lord, as our prayers always are. But it also is clear here that the people who Christ Jesus has made saints are a very large and diverse group, not just a select few. You knit together your faithful people of all times and places, certainly all over the world. We'll see that beautifully in our reading from Revelation in a moment. All times as well, ancient times, present times, future times, until Christ returns. And these are your faithful people, not people who have something that they claim for themselves. We talked about this the last week in particular, talking about Reformation Day, about faith being simply receiving what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 3 that we looked at as the epistle for Reformation Day was so clear on that, that it's a matter of receiving what God has done for us in Christ Jesus that is faith. It's the faithful people, that is those who simply receive what Christ has done, who are then gathered together in one holy communion. And not to be overlooked as we talk about the saints here in our collect is that wonderful promise of unspeakable joys. I love that phrase. Unspeakable joys says that there's so much out there waiting for us that we can't even describe it. It brings to mind what St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where he says that he was given a glimpse of heaven, and what he saw was beyond anything that he could speak in any kind of human language. He gives us that hint, just as the collect does here, that what is ahead of us in heaven is going to be magnificent. It's going to be beyond anything we could imagine, so much so that we can't even nail it down in earthly human language. If we tried to, we could give only images, only ideas, only hints, but we really couldn't begin to grasp or to put into words how magnificent it's all going to be. And so, with that kind of blessing before us, we want to follow the saints who have gone before us in all virtuous and godly living. That is, of course, the natural response of God's people to the blessings he has given to us. But it's not that our virtuous and godly living makes us saints. Rather, we've been made saints. And as saints, we go about the business of being saints, which is living according to God's commands and his love for us.
This brings us back to that verse that we'll meet again and again, the gradual from the book of Revelation, then also Psalm 84, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. The gradual, remember we talked about this last week as well, usually goes for an entire season or a large portion of a season, but for Reformation Sunday last week, we saw a gradual that was freestanding for just that one week, and likewise for this festival of All Saints, we have a gradual which is unique to this week, so it's well worth looking, and it is once again picking up Revelation chapter 7 and Psalm 84. Here it is. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. We've heard that. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. We love that. And then from Psalm 84, blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. That's a magnificent inclusion as well. When we're called blessed, we are reminded that it is a gift to us. Our sainthood is a blessing given to us. It's not something we've earned at all. It's a gift bestowed upon us. We are blessed by God with this amazing status. Our strength is in you, not in ourselves, and in whose heart are the highways to Zion. There's that hint again of the unspeakable joys that lie ahead of us when we, down that road, down that highway, reach the heavenly Zion, which will be so magnificent we can't even describe it.
Dr. Carl Fikencher is our guest on this Monday afternoon, October the 26th. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, a special Sunday, All Saints Day. We're going through the propers for that coming Sunday. He is professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Concordia Publishing House's annual warehouse sale is both online and in store. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues Etc. November 4th through 10th, and join us for a live broadcast from CPH on Thursday afternoon, November the 5th. Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale online and in store, cph.org and 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale, November 4th through 10th.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fikencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people. By the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom, God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Stanza 2 of For All the Saints. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, to All Saints Day. Dr. Carl Fikencher is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. The next thing we come upon is that verse now, the third time. We find it here in the epistle reading, and it really kind of now provides the context we need for what we've been hearing so far. What is it?
Revelation chapter 7, verses 2 through 8 are offered parenthetically. We'll refer to those briefly. And then verses 9 through 17, which includes that verse 14 that we've been talking about again and again, which is a really magnificent focus for All Saints Day. The first several verses, from verses 2 through 8, are a recounting of the 12 tribes of Israel being represented by 144,000 believers in heaven. This is a great and a really vivid picture of heaven. In some ways, it's the most vivid picture of heaven that we have in all of the scriptures. It begins when John, the apostle who is in exile and is seeing a series of visions from the Lord, says, "I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun." By the way, we might recall Revelation chapter 14 last week, which of course comes later in the book of Revelation, but that reference to an angel that has been understood by many to be a prophecy of the Reformation. Here is a different angel. This angel gives a magnificent vision of heaven, and it begins when John sees 144,000 from the tribes of the sons of Israel, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes. One brief note worth identifying here. This is the passage that is so badly abused by Jehovah's Witnesses who tell us that heaven is already full. They say that there's no chance for us to be in heaven. Heaven is filled already with these 144,000. And they take that to be very literal. Literally 144,000, not 145,000, I suppose not even 144,003. They take that literally when, in fact, it's a wonderful picture of completeness of all of those from the people of Israel. 12 times 12,000 is that nice number of completeness squared times 1,000, 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles, and so on, that God often uses. So it's a symbolic number that says, first of all of those from the people of Israel will be included in heaven, and there will be certainly countless believers from the Old Testament, and even people of Jewish genealogy yet today who have become believers in Christ Jesus. And then, for verse 9 and following, it broadens beyond that. So we can't even say in this context here that the Jehovah's Witnesses have it correct in saying that even that first portion of the text is all we're talking about. Verse 9 and following, John says, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number." We're not even going to put 144,000 on this one. "That no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages." So now we're well beyond the people who are genealogically descended from Abraham. "Standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.' Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, 'Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?'" There's the question. Who are these saints anyway, these people here? "Sir," I said, "you know." And he said to me, here's the answer, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. And he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes." Isn't that a magnificent picture? When we wonder about the unspeakable joys that await us in heaven, again, we can't begin to limit those. But to give us at least an image of what's ahead, God describes for us this gathering, people from everywhere, people of all races, we'd certainly say in our day, of all colors of people on earth, people who have lived thousands of years ago, our ancestors, our descendants, children of ours, grandchildren of ours who have believed in Christ Jesus, all kinds of cultures represented. This, you know, Todd, is very much what goes back to what you said in the beginning about this being truly a more biblical picture of the saints than those assumptions that are floating around out there. No one could number these. It's not a select group, not just a few. It's thousands. It's hundreds of thousands. It's literally billions, undoubtedly, by the time Christ returns at the end of time. And they celebrate in such magnificent ways. Palm branches in their hands. Yes, we remember from Palm Sunday that was a way of expressing great joy and excitement at the coming of the Messiah. Again, clothed in white robes, that symbol of holiness. And they cry out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." If anything is to come across from all of these discussions of All Saints Day, it's that our sainthood is by God through the Lamb. Salvation belongs to our God. These who are gathered together are celebrating because of what Christ Jesus, the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world, has done for us. It's all because of him. We see elders from the church through the centuries. We see angels. We see, including those cherubim, those high-ranking angels that are represented as four living creatures, all of them fall on their faces. They worship God. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to God forever. The celebration goes on and on and on, and it'll never get old. We'll never get tired of it. These, again, are those who have come out of the great tribulation. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And look at the blessings that come. Before the throne of God, we serve him day and night. And you know, there's nothing tedious, nothing burdensome about serving God nonstop. The new man, the new woman inside us loves nothing more than being about God's business. And in heaven, where the old sinful nature is not part of us anymore, we will love every assignment, everything we do, will be for God, for his glory, for the love of all of those around us. Everything we do will be a cause of celebration. There will be no limitations on our ability to carry out our assignments. There will be no time limits that make us feel pressured or hurried or rushed. We won't worry about whether we get our tasks done or not, those sorts of burdens that trouble us so much nowadays. And we will hunger no more, thirst no more, no sun or scorching heat that'll burn down on us, and the Lamb will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Nothing that makes us sad. All those things that detract from our joy in this world with sin all around us, all those things that cause sadness and suffering and tears, all taken away, unspeakable joys. And you see how again and again and again the Lamb is mentioned. It's always Christ Jesus, who has given us these magnificent blessings. Todd, I think I could give my theme already now, because really, we've touched on each of the major elements, although there will be more fleshing out to come. My theme this week is this: coming out of the great tribulation, the saints in Christ, in heaven and on earth, are blessed with unspeakable joys. Three big elements there. First of all, saints in Christ in heaven and on earth. The believers everywhere in Christ Jesus are saints because of Christ. We're saints because we are in Christ, baptized into his death on the cross that has washed us holy, made us white. One we haven't talked about yet much, but we'll see it when we get to the gospel reading. The intro, it began, these are those who have come out of the great tribulation. Okay, there's a lot to talk about there. And finally, we are blessed, remember the word blessed from the gradual, from Psalm 84, we are blessed with unspeakable joys. Saints in Christ, heaven and earth, great tribulation, we've left that behind, now we're blessed with unspeakable joys. Coming out of the great tribulation, the saints in Christ, in heaven and on earth, are blessed with unspeakable joys. A lot more to say about each of those elements.
Let's talk a little bit about the psalm for this coming Sunday, which is 149 as we go into this break.
Okay, very good. Psalm 49, I won't read the whole thing. I'll just highlight a couple of things. It begins and ends with praising the Lord. And we've seen in the past that praising the Lord isn't just throwing up our hands and making a lot of noise. It's always a result of what God has done for us. We see that so magnificently in the Revelation chapter 7 passage. There is going to be a magnificent celebration. The assembly of the godly is the way that collection is identified in Psalm 149. Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly. The psalm talks about being glad in our Maker, rejoicing in our King. It talks about dancing. It talks about music. It says, let the godly, there's another term for the saints, the godly exalt in glory, let them sing for joy on their beds. And perhaps the key verse of all in Psalm 149 is verse 5. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation. See, again, It's the Lord, it's Yahweh, it's Christ Jesus, who delights to make us his saints. He takes pleasure in us. He adorns the humble with salvation. It's nothing that we bring to the table again. We're humble in that we have nothing to offer, but he offers us that salvation. He saves us and makes us his people. He makes us his godly ones so that we will have that eternal joy, that unspeakable joy of praising the Lord in heaven.
Dr. Carl Fikencher is our guest. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the 3-year lectionary, looking forward to All Saints Day. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
Emmanuel means God with us. God is with us at Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School at 1285 Main Street in Hamilton, Ohio, near Cincinnati. God is with us as we gather on Sunday at 8 and 10:45 a.m. for divine service. God with us in his word of forgiveness, with us in the waters of baptism, with us in the body and blood of Christ in Holy Communion, with us in the classrooms of our school and child care, serving children from age 3 to 8th grade. Join us for worship or enroll your child in our Christ-centered day school. Find us at EmmanuelHamilton.com.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in 2 different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Hollywood's attitude toward Christianity, the Bible's influence on the U.S. Constitution, the decline of biblical preaching, the connection between biblical illiteracy and Western morality. You'll find these essays and more in the new book, The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, The Place of the Holy Scriptures in the Faith and Life of Confessional Lutherans. Check it out at shop.logia.org. The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, shop.logia.org.
Thank you.
the hymn For All the Saints, the fourth stanza. We're talking about this coming Sunday, looking forward to it, according to the three-year lectionary with Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. What's next here? It's the epistle from 1 John chapter 3, just a short little reading here as we walk through these propers. What is it?
It's short and it's beautiful. It's very, very rich. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, John writes, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." So many wonderful expressions there. The kind of love the Father has given to us, that we are children of God. We're called children of God, and John says that's exactly what we are. It's a wonderful kind of way to be emphatic there. It's not just a saying, but it's the reality. We have been made children of God. We are God's children now, and there's more. What we will be has not yet appeared, but when Christ comes back at the end of time, we'll be like him. We shall see him as he is. There, of course, is part of that unspeakable joy that we've looked forward to since the collect of our propers today, that unspeakable joy of being like Christ in a way that we haven't seen yet. We don't know what our glorified bodies will look like, but we know they will be like Christ's risen and glorified body, and how magnificent it will be to be living in that kind of experience. Everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Remember, pure, holy, sinless, forgiven, washed in the blood of Christ, white. Those are all images, pictures of what it means to be the saints. And see, once again, John directs these words right to us. This is not for a select few. We are called the children of God, and that's what we are. But there is one more note that we shouldn't overlook here, because the gospel reading will elaborate on it, and that is the last part of verse 1. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him, did not know Christ. There is an allusion, a brief reference, to saying that we're going to be misfits in this world. We're not going to blend in. We're going to stand out, and we're not going to be appreciated by the world, which is to say, there's going to be great tribulation, as Revelation reminded us, before those unspeakable joys of heaven. It's a wonderful situation to be in now, already children of God, with much more to look forward to, but also sufferings that are part of being children of God. And being in Christ means the sorts of things the world did to Christ, we can also expect.
The gospel reading, this is the Beatitudes. It seems an odd thing at first to go all the way back to Matthew chapter 5 and use these very familiar, often misunderstood words of Jesus. But how do they fit with the theme of All Saints Day?
Yes, this is a magnificent inclusion. You're correct. All Saints, or rather Matthew chapter 5, 1 to 12, the Beatitudes also occur during the Epiphany season in year A. So they come at another time of year when we're going through the Sermon on the Mount. It seems very natural there. Here, it might throw us for a little bit of a loop, but it really does underscore all of the major elements that we saw in our theme for the day. We'll look at each one of those again as we see in the gospel reading. I'll read the whole thing. These also are beautiful words. "Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain." This is the first portion of the Sermon on the Mount. "And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God.'" And then, verse 10, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. At least those verses 2 through 9, before we get to all that persecution stuff, anyone hearing these words has to say, oh, what beautiful words. I mean, it's impossible not to see the beauty in such virtues as to be peacemakers, pure in heart, merciful, hunger and thirst for righteousness, and all such things. The problem is the real beauty is often missed when people take these blessings that Jesus is pronouncing and see them as things that are earned by what we do. And as you said, these are often misunderstood and often preached just this way, something like this: blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, go and be poor in spirit, and you will be blessed. In fact, your blessing will be the kingdom of heaven. Go and mourn, and then you'll be comforted. You'll be blessed with comfort. Be meek. Hunger, thirst for righteousness. Go do it. Be merciful. Be pure in heart. Be a peacemaker. Make peace with people around you. And suddenly, words that are beautiful actually become a terrible burden, because we look at our own lives and we see that we're often not so meek at all or merciful. We know we're not always pure in heart. The real beauty of these words is that above all else, they describe the one who has made us saints. Above all else, first and foremost, they describe Jesus himself. They are really not talking about something that we are earning, but rather something which Jesus already is, which then we have when we are in Christ. The Greek word for blessed, which is repeated again and again, makarios, is one of the two words that can reflect blessing, oilegeo also. But makarios in particular describes a condition of something that already is. Jesus, simply by who he is as God's Son, the one who is sinless and whose will is perfectly one with the Father, is always poor in spirit. He mourns over the sins and sufferings of the world. He's meek. He hungers and thirsts for righteousness. He's always merciful, pure in heart, makes peace. And boy, was he persecuted for his righteous ministry on earth. But then we realize also that when we are baptized into Christ Jesus, we now share in all of these things of Christ. What Jesus isn't saying is, go be poor in spirit, for then you'll be blessed with the kingdom of heaven. He's saying, here is the makarios, here's the condition which already is. Those who are in me, that is, those who are baptized into Christ Jesus, are those who are poor in spirit, and the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. The new man, the woman created when we were baptized into Christ Jesus, mourns over sins and the sufferings of the world, but is always blessed with the comfort of knowing that Christ has overcome those sins of the world. The new man or woman inside us is meek, even though there's that sinful nature in us that is anything but meek, the sinful nature that is proud, that is self-centered, doesn't want to humble himself. But the new man or woman inside us, that is, the new person created when we're baptized into Christ Jesus, is meek and is blessed then with this inheritance, which is the earth itself. We do hunger and thirst for righteousness and are satisfied. We are merciful. We therefore receive Christ's mercy because we are in him. We are pure in heart. We see God. We're blessed in that wonderful way. The new man or woman inside us really is a maker of peace, is someone who seeks not his or her own way, but always looks for the other person and how we can reconcile others also to God. We are therefore called sons of God because we are in the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself. And then there's verse 10 and verse 11. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus turns the pronoun not from third person, those who, but to you in verse 11. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. The saints are living in a great tribulation now. The world does not recognize us because it did not know him. The world is opposed to us. We are going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. That is, because we are made righteous in Christ Jesus, we are different from the world and its standards and all the things that it honors and accepts. And because we are in Christ Jesus, therefore, we will be persecuted. The world will utter all kinds of evil against us falsely. This is exactly what they have done to the saints before. Your reward is great in heaven, for they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And above all, they persecuted the prophet par excellence, Christ Jesus. So as saints, those who are in Christ, we are going to live in a great tribulation. Our introit, Revelation chapter 7:14, reminded us of that. But we come out of the great tribulation as people blessed with exceeding joys, unspeakable joys, because being in Christ, we do have all of these blessings of the Beatitudes. We do have the kingdom of God. We are comforted. We do inherit the earth. We are satisfied. We receive mercy. We see God. We are called sons of God. And therefore, we can rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. In fact, it is unspeakable joys.
Dr. Carl Fikancher is our guest. We'll take a break. 10 more minutes with him on the other side of the break. Looking forward to Sunday morning, All Saints Day, according to the 3-year lectionary. A few more questions on that gospel reading. Then we'll talk about the verse and the hymn of the day that we've been hearing for all the saints. In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., it is Reformation Week. We're going to kick it off with Dr. Larry Rast, President and Professor of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. All this week, we're going to be talking about challenges to Lutheranism, past and present. Today, we're going to kick off Reformation Week, talking about the challenge of pietism. Stay tuned.
Cradled in historic Perry County, Missouri, the manger of the Missouri Synod, Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 453 Northwest Street in Perryville proclaims God's Word and celebrates His Supper on Saturdays at 5:30 and Sundays at 7:30 and 10 using the church's liturgy contained in Lutheran Service Book, enriched with ancient and modern hymns. For more information, call 573-547-8317 or visit www.emmanuel-perryville.org.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are 4 levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. The hymn for all the saints, the fourth stanza, the final stanza of that hymn, in fact. We're talking about All Saints Sunday as we look forward to Sunday morning with Dr. Carl Fikencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month is a devotional resource. Here's a little bit from it. It's all by Martin Luther. Some of it actually never before translated into English. Here is his thought on All Saints Day based on Isaiah 35:10. It is stated in Luke 2:9 that when the angel came to the shepherds, the brightness of the Lord shone around them. Such was also Christ's countenance on Mount Tabor. Such will be our countenance when on the last day we are raised for the glory which Christ has gained for us. Our faces will shine like the sun at noon. No longer will be there those familiar wrinkles, the contracted brow, the watery eyes. But as it is stated in Revelation 21:4, the Lord will wipe away all tears from our eyes so that no death, no sorrow, no laments, or any hardships remain. Let us hold fast to this hope and let us live in the fear of God until we are set free from this life fraught with misery and shall live that angelic and eternal life. Amen, amen, writes Luther in his lecture on Genesis. Just a little taste of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Day by Day with Martin Luther. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. A real quick question on this gospel reading, Dr. Fikencher, and that is, it sounds like we're simply letting Jesus describe to us what he thinks saints are like there. Is that a good way of understanding those Beatitudes?
That's not bad at all. And of course, what Jesus says to us about who the saints are, that's the definitive word. It is a magnificent thing to realize that all who are in Christ Jesus then have all of these blessings that Christ himself speaks that really do describe himself first and foremost. To be in Christ Jesus is the ultimate blessing. It's the ultimate Makarios, and that's what all the saints have.
So we have the verse and the hymn of the day remaining. What would you say of each of those?
Well, the verse is really quite a nice summary one more time. Remember, we've said our theme, coming out of the great tribulation, the saints in Christ in heaven and on earth are blessed with unspeakable joys. The verse reminds us of those saints in heaven and how ultimately we have those unspeakable joys. The verse goes like this. This is from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Alleluia. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Alleluia. The cloud of witnesses that the writer of the Hebrews describes is the saints who have gone before us into heaven, the saints that are in heaven now, looking, celebrating in all the joy that is there, and standing as witnesses to us, to encourage us, witnesses by their example to follow in their godly lives. Let us therefore look to Jesus. It's all about Christ Jesus. When we talk about the saints, we're always talking about those who are in Christ. Let's look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, the beginning and the end of our faith. Our faith receives what Christ has done for us, making us holy, and that really is what it's all about.
With those few minutes that we have here, we got just about 2.5 minutes or so, the hymn of the day for all the saints. There's so much that could be said about this hymn.
No, that's so true. You know, even Todd, just listening to it now, these four stanzas picked out, a little bit started to happen to me what happens every time I sing it. And this is probably true of many, many Christians. For all the saints who from their labors rest, for probably all of us, someone comes to mind. A few years ago, my wife Claire's father went to heaven. A couple of years after that, my dad went to heaven. And as soon as you begin to picture those particular people that you love, who you knew had faith in Christ Jesus, and you begin to picture the joy that they are experiencing, where they are now experiencing that unspeakable joy, it does kind of choke you up. I mean, it happens just hearing that magnificent recording that we heard in coming back from the breaks, and I know when we sing it together, where our own voices are lifted this Sunday, for many of us, it's almost impossible not to be overcome by that joy. All the saints who from their labors rest, we celebrate those who are in heaven now. Your name, O Jesus, be forever blessed. We've said that again and again and again. It's all about what Christ Jesus has done. We bless his name because he is the one who brought us to heaven. But even as we're celebrating those who are in heaven, stanza four, O blessed communion, fellowship divine, we feebly struggle. They in glory shine. They who are in heaven, but also we who are struggling in this life, including that great tribulation we've been talking about, yet all are one. We on earth, they in heaven in glory, all are one in thee, for all are thine. Those who are living here on earth by faith in Christ Jesus are just as certainly saints for whom we give Jesus a blessing, for whom we bless his name. He's the one who has made us also saints, even as we live now, even as we look at ourselves and see the obvious failures, all the sins that adhere to us, we already now are saints. And then stanza eight, it all comes together in the end. From earth's wide bounds, from ocean's farthest coast, through gates of pearls stream in the countless host. There are people of every nation, every tribe, every time, as we've seen, singing to Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Alleluia. We who now are feebly struggling, one day will also rise after our deaths, along with those who are in heaven now, as their bodies are raised, and all together in the resurrection of the body, we will sing forevermore those magnificent hymns that we see in Revelation, and including in our Revelation passage this week. The hymn, I think, is a beautiful, humanly written, but divinely contented expression of what we're talking about on All Saints Day.
Dr. Carl Fakencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, thank you for being our guest.
Thanks very much, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to begin Issues Etc. Reformation Week, talking about the challenges to Lutheranism. It'll be Pietism with Dr. Larry Rass. Stay tuned for Hour 2.
The faith, once for all, delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.